This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company. For more information and links to all our great podcasts, visit hartmanmedia.com.
Welcome to the Creating Wealth Show with Jason Hartman. You're about to learn a new slant on investing, some exciting techniques, and fresh new approaches to the world's most historically proven asset class that will enable you to create more wealth and freedom than you ever thought possible. Jason is a genuine self-made multimillionaire who's actually been there and done it. He's a successful investor, lender, developer, and entrepreneur who's owned properties in 11 states, had hundreds of tenants and been involved in thousands of real estate transactions. This program will help you follow in Jason's footsteps on the road to your financial independence day. You really can do it. And now, here's your host, Jason Hartman, with the complete solution for real estate investors.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Creating Wealth Show. This is your host, Jason Hartman, with episode number 792. Thank you so much for joining me today as we talk more about being an empowered investor. Yes, democratization. And to me, what, you know, people like to throw that word around, democratization, right? Well, first of all, if you think the U.S. is a great country and you like the model of the U.S., it might be important to realize that it's not really a democracy exactly. It's a representative republic, right? So as people throw around this word democratization, let me tell you what I mean when I throw it around carelessly. I believe it means a flattening, an empowerment. And one of our themes for the last few Meet the Masters events, maybe two or three of them, that's our annual conference that we have, is the empowered investor, investor empowerment. And I very much believe in that. I believe that we need to flatten hierarchical structures so that people have the tools, the power, the access to either do things themselves or control things so that they can happen in a positive way. Of course, you know commandment number 3, thou shalt maintain control. And when I talk about that, I'm referring to Wall Street or pooled money investing or even crowdfunding, to the greatest degree crowdfunding, in the sense that with those low-regulated type programs like crowdfunding programs, like I've said years ago, I mean, I love the concept of it, and I'm glad it's out there because it's led to a lot of new innovation, people coming up with new products and new services, and that's all good. But does that mean that we as investors should be putting our money into pooled assets? I'm certainly glad Wall Street exists because, boy, we couldn't have large companies with really innovative products if we didn't have the general public funding those companies by buying their stock, right? That all started out as the joint stock company. That's what I learned in school way back then. That was the first idea of shareholders in a company many, many, many years ago. So this is all good that this stuff is there, but does it mean you should do it? Does it mean I should do it? No, not necessarily. Because of course, when we invest in pooled money assets, we lose control. We make the hierarchy larger. We are absolutely not empowered. We are disempowered. We do not have democratization. We do not have a flattening of hierarchical structures. We have an increasing of them. We have more power in those structures. And that means the investor is less empowered. As you know, when I talk about commandment number 3 of my 10 commandments, thou shalt maintain control, when you relinquish control, you leave yourself susceptible to 3 major problems. Number 1, you might be investing with a crook, and therefore you'll lose your money. We're all familiar with the Wall Street scandals. We're becoming more familiar with crowdfunding scandals on places like Kickstarter and Indiegogo and all these great innovative websites and business models. I love that they're there, but I don't know that I want to invest in any of them. I don't know, maybe, but you know, certainly there are problems and scandals out there with that type of stuff. So there, everything has risk. Everything has risk. Even keeping your money in the bank is risky. And I don't mean that in the sense that most people think I mean it when I say that. I assume, you know, when I say that, you think I'm talking about, you know, the banks could collapse. There's not enough FDIC insurance. And that's all very true. But I don't even really mean that. I mean, the implicit risk is that inflation will, well, actually, it's not a risk. It's a certainty. A certainty is different than a risk. In this scenario, you are certain you will lose money. And you are certain you will pay a bunch of fees to a bank that is ripping you off, a bunch of banksters. Now, does that mean I'm not in favor of banks? No, I'm glad they're there. We got to have capital formation, just like Wall Street. I'm glad that's there. Does it mean I want to use it? Not necessarily. Well, you know, I have to use a bank. When you look at the various scandals in the banking world, most recently, the scumbags at Wells Fargo. I mean, what a disgusting bunch of scumbags at Wells Fargo. What a pathetic bank. I was just talking with one of our clients about Wells the other day and how awful they are. I mean, just terrible. And many years ago, you heard me railing on Bank of America. Bank of America, really one of the most hated companies in America for a time, because, of course, they were stupid enough to buy Countrywide and Merrill Lynch, and everybody hated those companies, except when Countrywide was doling out loans to anybody who could fog a mirror. That was a major contributor to the financial crisis, the mortgage meltdown. And then, of course, Wall Street was playing the game in the background, and we didn't know all that. That was a secret unless you were an insider, right? But not only do the banksters not pay you any money, any interest. And, you know, one of my banks sent me this just yesterday. I opened the statement and it showed on the statement the various interest rates they pay based on the balance one has in their account. So from $0 to $5,000, they'll pay 0.1% interest. And then it goes all the way up to $1 million, up to essentially infinity, almost $1 trillion, okay? And if you have that, you'll get 0.5%. Yeah. So basically, if you have more money than God in the bank, you get 0.5%. So you're getting ripped off there for sure, but you know where they really rip you off is on the fees. Many years ago, I was talking to my mom about the different big banks, and you know, my mom, she pays attention to a lot of this little stuff. I honestly don't. We could certainly argue what's a better philosophy. Now, you might think intrinsically that paying attention would be the better philosophy, but you must remember when you pay attention to one thing, you can't pay attention to another thing. So you might open one door, but you'll certainly close another. There's always a trade-off in everything. By the way, just so you know what's coming up here, okay, why I'm talking about all this, because I am going on a bit of a tangent. I agree and admit and understand that, but you keep telling me you like my tangents, so I do them. I try to do them once in a while. I try to give you at least one tangent a week that's in the monologue. Now, there may be other tangents in the guest interview as well. And our guest today is the founder of a company that offers some cool self-management investor empowerment services. Remember we talked about Cozy? Remember in 2016 at our Meet the Masters event in San Diego, California? Well, La Jolla, California, to be more specific. We had one of the founders of Cozy, COZY.co, come down and talk about their fantastic tools that help investors manage their properties and collect rents. Well, today we're talking with another company that has some cool tools. In fact, you might even think they have more tools because they offer some tenant screening and things like this. And what we want to do, and we're doing this, okay? It's a process, folks. It's not going to be like one episode, all of a sudden, you're going to see the empowered investor. You see that as a process. And this episode, our guest today, is part of that process. And we learned about this product from one of our clients. Forgive me, I can't remember who it was, but you're probably listening out there. And I thank you so much for telling us about this company. It's called RentTech, and they got some cool features. So we wanted to put them on the show and let you hear about it. Because what we want to see happen is we want to see it be commonplace for property property managers to offer a la carte services to investors. We don't necessarily want to see property managers go away completely, even though we do talk about, teach people about, and in some cases, depending on the investor, recommend self-management of one's properties, which oddly, can actually be easier. And certainly, you'll save money, if not make money, as long as you do it right and don't have some oddball problem that maybe a manager could have resolve for you that you can't resolve yourself, or maybe you're not paying attention, so that's why you had the problem, right? So everything requires attention. So before I forget on this massive tangent, we're going down this funnel here, paying attention, yes, attention span, the most scarce commodity in today's world, attention span of attention, the scarcest, most valuable commodity in the world today. More valuable than diamonds, more valuable than pretty much anything. And by the way, diamonds, it's Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day, everybody. I hope you have a very romantical Valentine's Day. Just a disclaimer there, romantical is not actually a word. My ex-girlfriend Hillary used to say romantical, and I thought it was cute. So that's what I'm using. Romantical. Not an official word, but maybe it'll end up as a word if I say it enough. So the banks don't pay you any money. My mom pays attention to these little nickel and dime fees from these banks. And we're talking about all the different big banks, and we're comparing them as I'm having this discussion with my mom. And she says, well, I used to bank at Wells Fargo, but they just fee you to death. It's this little fee, that little fee, that little fee, that little fee. It's ridiculous, right? So even though they don't pay you any interest on your savings, which is a whole discussion really about monetary policy and the whole banking syndicate, the cartel that is a scam, and you know the interviews we've had with G. Edward Griffin, of course, we had him speak at our Meet the Masters event recently. There's all of that stuff, right? The banking cartel in general. But then there are individual banks that stick you differently, right? And if you look at banks like Wells, I would say they probably have the most real estate. Is it really necessary to have a Wells Fargo branch on, you know, every mile? I mean, it's not exactly how many there are, but there are so many of them. You've got to just think that real estate is costing them a fortune, because every one of these offices, in addition to the real estate costs, they have to be managed, maintained, and certainly staffed, right? And that's very, very expensive. We went virtual with this company. All my companies went virtual in 2012. We gave up our last office. The lease ended, and we thought, what do we need an office for? You just don't need it anymore. And I was having these battles with my staff of, hey, come into the office. And it was like, they just don't want to come into the office. Why am I trying to force them, cajole them, convince them to come into the office? They want to work at home. They want to have flex time. And it works. It's worked great for us. So my mom and I were comparing a couple of the big banks, Citibank, sorry. That's what my friend calls it. Can we bleep that shitty bank? Bleep it again. Okay. We don't want to get an adult rating on our show here with my cussing. So you have Wells, B of A, shitty bank. Sorry, shitty bank. Didn't mean to pick on you. I don't think you're that bad. We used to bank with you and we thought you were okay. I think B of A was really the big hated bank a couple of years ago. Wells Fargo is the big hated bank now because they've had all these scandals recently of opening up multiple accounts for people in these ghost accounts. You may have all sorts of extra accounts at Wells Fargo you don't even know you had. And then, of course, there's Chase. And Mom was comparing these for me, and she really checks this stuff out. So I kind of trust her opinion about it. And she says, Wells just fees you to death. And she says, I'm banking with B of A. And I said, B of A, aren't they just terrible? Everybody hates Bank of America now. I guess they don't hate them as much as they used to, but they're all, you know, the bottom line is everybody you talk to, they'll say they all suck. because there's not enough competition. There's too much regulation in the banking world. Same with cell phone providers. They all suck. Everybody says all of them suck. They'll say like T-Mobile is the best in terms of their plans and their billing. I think T-Mobile really has the best concept. And maybe Verizon has the best reception. I don't know. But Verizon's expensive. That's sort of the premium service. And then you travel internationally and Verizon's terrible. At least that's my understanding of this. So they all have their advantages and disadvantages, right? But this is unbelievable. This thing I got that just shows the bank will basically not pay you anything. And it actually pays you less than they say. Why? Well, of course, you have taxes. And then you have the hidden tax, inflation. You have to pay tax on interest income. But you also have to pay tax on inflation as the value of your money is inflated away into nothing. And we're going to see more of that. But as real estate investors, following my plan, we actually love inflation. So that's our home run strategy. And then you have all these little nickel and dime frickin' fees. These banks just fee you to death. And according to my mom, who's kind of an expert in this, Wells is really the worst of the big banks. They're the most abusive in terms of feeing you to death. What this basically does, though, is this pushes all sorts of people who did the right thing, people who saved, people who delayed gratification, and, you know, people that really kind of deserve a break. This is usually older people that have done the right thing all their life. They saved, and they thought they could retire and invest in a bunch of bank CDs and ladder those CDs. If you don't know what laddering is, just Bing it. Don't Google it, because there's another bunch of evils committed. Listen, Microsoft commits them too. Just understand that everything big is bad, and democratization means big goes away, and the small guy is empowered, and that's what our guest will talk about today, because this is one of those empowerment tools. So you've got all this, and now all of these older people are having to invest in all sorts of speculative, risky things that aren't really conservative enough. And when you have a change in the economy, they could lose. They could lose really bad. And it's really sad. It's not fair, but the world isn't fair. Okay. The other night I was in Los Angeles. I was in Los Angeles last weekend. I got to hang out a little bit with Mr. CeeLo Green, the cool musician. And he's like the coolest guy. Really funny too. Great sense of humor. You probably imagine that CeeLo Green would have a great sense of humor. I got to go to the Beck concert in Los Angeles. That was awesome too. Beck was really great. I mean, he was good. Music was really, really good. I went to the Beck concert on Friday. And then I went to CeeLo Green's Grammys party on Saturday, hung out with him a little bit, had a great time, met a cute girl there, by the way. And after the party, we were hanging out, and she was ranting on and on about how evil Donald Trump is. And you know, it took like everything I had to restrain myself and not get in a political argument and ruin the mood. See, some things are more important than politics, even though you understand that I'm not exactly a Trump supporter, okay? Although I think he's better than the criminal known as Hillary Clinton. Okay, gosh, another tangent here. Let's not do it. Stay out of it, Jason. Okay, so went to that. And then I went to another event on Sunday night, the City Gala event. And John Travolta was there. And, you know, I was right next to him. And he gave a little talk. And one of the things he talked about is how he's this eternal optimist. He said, you know, no matter what character he's playing, what role he's playing in a movie, John Travolta believes in the innate goodness of people. He said that, you know, like right in front of me, you know, just a few feet away. And it was, you know, I really felt that he believed that. And I believe it too, sort of, but not completely. You know, to deny that there are truly bad, evil people out there is just childish. It's immature. There are really bad, really evil people. And I think most people are pretty good people. I think a lot of people can become good or evil in a situational environment. You know, certainly I could be I'm a little evil and I think I'm a good guy and I'm optimistic and, you know, but someone really takes advantage of me or takes advantage of someone else. You know, I'm a big fan of the underdog. I spent a lot of my life as the underdog. Maybe that's why I have so much compassion for the underdog. You know, I see someone take advantage of someone or bully someone. That really bothers me. Let me tell you, I could become really upset about that and really go to that person's aid, right? And, you know, that's one of the things I'm doing in my real estate business. I think it's part of a big part of my mission to help people not get bullied, in essence, in a way, call it bullying, by Wall Street. Wall Street is screwing people. And that's why we have the better alternative. We have income property, the most historically proven asset class in the entire world. And then we take tools that empower investors so that they can be more direct in terms of their management of their portfolios. And they can do that without a lot of time, without a lot of effort. And so we are continuing to develop and explore and share tools like that with you, our dear clients and our dear audience, our dear listeners. Let's do that today. Let's get to our guests, but make sure you go to jasonhartman.com, check out some of the properties there. Remember our financing program, by the way, just before we get to our guests, one more thing. I know it's always one more thing, isn't it? Last week, I announced our financing program, and a lot of you had great interest in that. And basically, just to state it again, we have totally exclusive financing, not available anywhere else. It's here only. It's exclusive to us. Why is it exclusive? Well, because it's money coming from another one of my companies. Okay, that's why it's exclusive. On any of the properties purchased through our network with a minimum loan balance. Okay, you got to have a minimum loan balance. Someone asked me about this just today, and the loan amount can't be too small. Okay, so we're going to set a $70,000 minimum loan balance. Okay, on this. So you can basically buy a property, put 25% down, so very low down payment, and this is private financing. I mean, you will not find any deal this good anywhere else unless you're just talking about your typical Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac agency loans, and those are the best. We're not here to compete with that. You can't beat those loans. Why? Because they're subsidized by the government. Of course you can't beat them, right? 6.5%, 5 points, 75% loan-to-value ratio, 30-year amortization, all due in 7 years, so balloon payment in 7 years. You'll have to refinance the property. Hopefully, you're doing my refi till you die plan. You only have to have a FICO score, a tri-merge FICO score of 650 or higher. So very easy going on the credit score. If any of you did a strategic default during the Great Recession, hey, no big deal. Your credit score is probably good enough. You know, subject to appraisal, etc. Fees are very reasonable, just about $1,000 or so in fees. And there you go. So take advantage of that, and remember that is something that is exclusive to us, not offered anywhere else. $70,000 minimum loan amount. So if you buy a property for $100,000, you're fine. Okay? So, and that's, you know, our average sales price is somewhere in there, about $100,000, $120,000, I'd say. Ask your investment counselor about the financing. Also, if you're interested in being a paper investor and buying notes, you can do that through us. So ask your investment counselor about that as well. And that's not a bad strategy to diversify some of your real estate holdings with some paper assets. Of course, I think that the actual properties, the ownership of the actual properties is the best. The nice thing about the financing when you're the lender is it's simple. It's easier. It's much simpler than actually having the property. But in terms of having the property, which is the best investment, I believe, we make that simpler than any other method, right? So that's the thing. All right, so that's it. Let's jump over and get to our guest before we go any longer here. And let's listen in, but go to jasonhartman.com and check all that stuff out, as well as our great home study courses. It's my pleasure to welcome Nathan Miller to the show. He is founder and president of RentTech Direct. This is a software that can help you manage your properties. As you know, I am one of the people out there, and there are more voices than just my own. I'm glad to see I'm not alone in this, that wants to really disrupt the property management industry and offer people new tools and new options. And, you know, hopefully we'll see property managers start offering a la carte services. We'll see more people self-managing properties long distance, which, as I've mentioned many times before, if you told me you could do that years ago, I would have said you were crazy, but I've done it myself many times, and we have many clients that do it as well. You know, properties they've never seen, tenants they've never met, managing them from a distance, and it's working quite well. Nathan, welcome. How are you?
I'm very good. Thanks for having me, Jason.
Yeah, good to have you on the show. So you've got a nice product. I actually learned about it from one of our clients who said it was a good product, and I checked it out, and I thought, I got to get you on the show to talk about this. What does your product do? Who is it for? I know that you have property managers using it, but you also have individual investors using it as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, in fact, the bulk of our clients are investors or small-time landlords that have from, you know, 2 to 20 properties that they manage, and that does make the basis of our client base. Our product was designed initially, you know, I woke up one day having trouble with my own rentals. I was, doing the traditional, what probably 90% of all landlords out there do today, is I was plugging figures into Excel and keeping paper receipts. And once I got, you know, a few properties that I was managing like that, it became to be a lot. It was a lot of work, you know, keeping track of what, you know, what sink needed to be fixed, or did I, you know, record this receipt right? Did I put it in the right box? And then Excel, you know, it's Excel, so it only goes so far. So at that point in my life, I was still am, but a software developer, and I just knew that, you know, there had to be more landlords out there like me that were having troubles, and I decided to go ahead and write this program to help landlords. That was the whole focus behind this, and I used myself as a model for developing the program in the first place.
Yeah, fantastic. So did you have a background in software, or what was your background before that? I mean, I know you were an investor, but what else did you do?
Well, my primary occupation at the time was running an internet service provider. It was a company that was founded here in Grants Pass, and we provided internet access nationwide by the end of it. What I did there was I did a lot of development. I started with some low-level programming, and I taught myself a lot, got into some higher-level database programming and PHP development, and that's kind of where I got my base knowledge in that.
Yeah, okay. Okay, good. So tell us what this product does and how much it costs and, you know, how our investors listening can use it.
Okay. Well, the basis behind the program is to make a landlord's life simpler. That's what I wanted when I started developing it, was I wanted to save myself time because I was spending hours and hours and hours a week, you know, managing these properties. So I wanted to save myself time. So that is what the program does. And some of the ways it does it is it's going to automate a lot of your tasks, such as, you know, sending out notices to your tenants, keeping track of, you know, which tenant owes you, and giving you a ledger for every single tenant. So it's very clear when you, you know, log in and look at the program, you know, who owes you money and who doesn't. It's also going to help you with your maintenance tasks. In fact, a number of years ago, we added in a tenant portal. So tenants get their own login. They can log in with their mobile phone or on their computer. And if they have a maintenance issue, they can just report it online. Then that goes into your database. You can, you know, then assign it to one of your vendors and get it taken care of. You don't actually have to talk to the tenant because they could send you a picture. They can put the details of the problem up there. And it just, the nature of it saves you a lot of time. As time went on, we discovered, you know, and this is mostly from feedback from a lot of people that were using the program, that there's a ton of things that can save people time. So we're a very client-focused company in that we keep track of every single request that comes in. And where I was getting with that is, you know, back, this is some time ago, but But we had a lot of requests for automating payments. This is probably 5 or 6 years ago, automating payments. And so we integrated ACH payments into the system. So a tenant can pay their landlord, doesn't matter where the tenant is. They can be, you know, in New York, and you can be in LA, you can be anywhere, and the tenant plugs in their bank account information and it pays their rent every single month for them, directly transfers that money over the ACH system to the landlord's bank account.
As long as they have money in the account.
As long as they have money in the account. That's the one thing I gotta say. It's actually, you know, I look at the stats. I'm always very interested in the banking aspects and how, you know, how much ACH we're helping with on a monthly basis. And I don't see many bounced ACH payments. I think there's a few reasons for that, but I think the automated nature of it, when people know that it's coming out, you know, on the 6th of the month or the 7th of the month, and their paycheck always goes in on the 4th. That makes rent always the very first priority. It comes out first.
Now, you know, we've had the people from Cozy, C-O-Z-Y, on the show, and I know you know about Cozy. It's one of your sort of competitors, not exactly a competitor. They process rent payments for free, and, you know, many of our clients use Cozy and like it. Is it the same type of system, and is there a charge for processing those rent payments? Is it an ACH? Is that what Cozy does? You know, I don't personally use it, but many of our clients do. What's the difference, if any?
Yeah, well, we're all using the same system. It's all the ACH system, where it transfers from one account to another. They make their revenue on the credit card payments that happen to come in, because those do actually have a markup. We make our revenue on adding. You know, we provide a much larger software package than they might. In that, it's a complete accounting package. So. We charge, I think, 50 cents for each ACH that goes through.
And who do you charge? The landlord? Not that it's a big deal. It's 50 cents, but I just want to know.
Usually the landlord pays for it. However, that's the landlord's option. They could have the tenant pay for it if they want. They can mark it up if they want. But we always, you know, we try to recommend that landlords just absorb that, because like you said, it's only 50 cents. And the convenience of not having to take a stack of checks to the bank or cash, for people to pay in cash still, it's just overwhelmingly more convenient. So it's worth the 50 cents.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so with your system, people cannot pay by credit card, but with Cozy, they can use a credit card, right?
Well, actually, we accept credit cards as well. So okay. Both systems accept credit cards.
Tell us what happens when you do that. I mean, gosh, you know, I own lots of investment properties, but I actually rent my own beautiful home, because it's a great deal to be a renter, actually, you know, when you rent a high-end property. So I would love to pay my rent with a credit card, and I would get so many airline miles, it would be unbelievable.
yep.
But you know, what's the charge for that?
Well, your charge is going to be about just under 3%, and now almost all landlords do pass that on to the tenant.
Yeah, exactly.
So your rewards are only giving you about 1% on average, and you're paying 3%. Right. So it's not really worth it. But sometimes people are in a bind, and it's a way better than a payday loan.
Yeah, absolutely. That's for sure. Okay, good. So what else does it do? So you process payments. Let's maybe take it in chronological order if we can, because now we're already into payment processing. But what about tenant screening? You know, how do you pick a tenant? Can you help with that?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, that's, as you know, that's the most important part to renting your home, is picking the right tenant. The wrong tenant can be catastrophic. So yes, that was another, you know, user request, is they were asking for us to provide tenant screening. So we did. We connected with some of the nation's best databases in order to get all the major stuff out there. So anyone on our system can pull a nationwide credit report using TransUnion, nationwide criminal, which covers all 50 states, and then eviction reports.
And it's
also
only gonna be TransUnion. It's not gonna be other credit bureaus like Experian. Right?
And there's a reason for that. TransUnion.
Okay, tell us about.
You
that.
Bet. TransUnion's the only credit agency that is. That appreciates landlords and allows landlords to pull this data for tenant screening purposes. The rest of the agencies want the tenant to be involved. So you see a lot of services out there, unlike ours. Ours is where the landlord will go up and they order the report and they get to view the report in about 10 seconds. All they have to do is plug in the tenant's name and social, and it shows right up there for them. The other systems out there that use like Experian, for example, they've got, I think it's called SmartMove, and there's a lot of SmartMove type systems out there, where the landlord, instead of just ordering the report and viewing it right away, they put in a request and it sends an email off to the tenant, and then the tenant logs in and they do some identity verification questions, set up an account at Experian, and then once they've done that and approved the request, it then forwards a copy to the landlord. And both systems work, and the SmartMove system works well for really low quantities. But if you're doing, three or four applications, that gets tedious and it can take a long time to receive those results back when the tenant has to be involved in all those steps.
Okay, so I assume you make money on the tenant screening, right? How much do you charge for that?
Well, we charge, if you come to us and you have one property and you're not using our software, tenant screening for all three, the credit, eviction, and criminals, going to be about $29. And we do have a markup in that. If you're using our software, then that goes down to $15 for those three. And then in that particular case, between me and you and your entire audience, there's a very, very tiny markup in that. We just give that as a convenience for the most part.
Yeah, I would agree. Like my mother, she self-manages all her properties, long distance, by the way, and has been doing it for many, many years that way.
That's awesome.
And she pays, I think, $10 per applicant. And how does that work for couples or singles? Or, is it $15 per person? Or
it would be. $15 per person is typical. Yes.
Okay. And does the tenant pay for that like through a portal, or does the landlord have to collect that somehow? And can the landlord then collect whatever they want? I mean, look, folks, a lot of landlords make money on this, and so do property management companies, just like you do as a software company. You get a little markup on it, too. How does that work mechanically? Does the tenant go in online and go to a portal and pay to, be evaluated for the property, or how do they do it?
Okay, well, with our service, the tenant doesn't have to be involved at all, other than they need to fill out, a rental application with the landlord. And that can be a rental application in person, on the kitchen counter at the property, or it can be an online application, and we provide that also. So if we take the online application, for example, and we walk through the steps of that, the tenant will go up to, a landlord who's using Rentec Direct. They'll look through their available properties. They'll select one. They'll apply for it, where it'll ask them for all the information you would find on a typical application. And then if the landlord chooses, they can charge a fee for accepting that application. Application fees are typically anywhere from $25 to $50 per adult, depending on the area. And at the end of the application, they'll pay that fee with their credit card online, times the number of adults. That'll go back to the landlord, and the landlord then will run the tenant screening, which costs them $15 per adult. So the application fee is usually always more than the tenant screening fee.
So we went over application, we went over screening, we went over actual rent payments. What happens after that? How about tracking and things like that?
Financial tracking? Who owes?
Yeah, well, and tracking, does it track lease expiration dates? Does it track your insurance policies, property management contracts, if you have a property manager? And that's actually one of the things I wanted to ask
you.
Can this be used for an investor who has a property manager? Or is it really for an investor who's self-managing only? Maybe talk a little bit about the mechanics of that.
Okay. Well, to your first question, yes, it will track, I think, everything you mentioned there. All those tools have been built in. And for a landlord with a property manager a property owner that has a property manager, it's not really designed for that scenario. What would typically happen with a property manager is they would then send the landlord the information they need to fill out their Schedule E at tax time, and the landlord then – the owner doesn't then actually need to run an accounting package to this scale.
Right, but they still want to keep track and kind of know where they are, and throughout the year make sure they got the money from the property manager each month and that the amounts were correct? You know, I understand the schedule E tax time thing, but, you know, are there some functionalities there? I mean, you could, I assume you could just run it as though you were just managing yourself, right? I mean, why couldn't you do that?
You could. You could definitely set up an account on our system, even a free account, because we offer accounts free for anyone less than 10 properties. You could set that up and plug in your values every month. But now that I think about it, we do have, you know, we've got our landlord product, we call it Rentec Pro, and then we've got our property manager program designed for the small to mid-sized property managers, we call Rentec PM. And with the Rentec PM product, if a property manager is managing a property for an investor, they can actually turn on an owner portal. And then the owner, you know, in this case, would then log into the portal and they see all the transactions that happen with their properties. So that might be the connection we're looking for there.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. And tell us about the pricing of these two different products.
Okay. I mean, in general, you know, when people ask me that, I usually say it's about $1 a unit. It's going to vary a little bit. If you have, you know, 5 units, you can use it for free. Even up to 10 units, you can use it for free. If you have,
With the entire functionality?
Well, no, it's going to be a limited functionality. We can't throw it. We can't pay for, you know, the ACH connections. And let's see, there's a few other things that aren't in there. The stuff that costs us money and the advanced features aren't going to be in the free product.
Yeah. Okay. So let's not talk about the free product because everybody's going to want the other features. Okay. So does it start at $65 per month? You know, if you have 1 to 100 units, that's what it looks like on your website. Or is it different? You know, just for, we're talking about the investor product, not the manager product yet, the entry level product here.
Oh, sure. No, if you have 100 units, that's going to be the price. But if you have fewer than that, let's say 25 units, you're only paying $15 a month.
Okay, so $15 a month for up to 25 units with all the features, right?
Yes.
Okay, now what if you want to use the property management product, the property manager product, which is the next step? You have basically three products, a free product that doesn't have all the features, mm-hmm. a paid product that's very reasonably priced, by the way, thanks. And then a property manager product, right?
Yes.
Okay, and so tell us about the property manager product, the cost and the benefits of that, what you get.
Okay, sure. I mean, the property manager products can be about 20% more than Rentec Pro. And property managers tend to, you know, they're managing more properties. So if you had a property manager managing 50 properties, for example, I just typed it in on my computer here, it's $35 a month, whereas the landlord version would be $25 a month.
Okay, so certainly you know about all of the property management products out there, you know, the bigger robust softwares like Buildium and Yardi and all of the others I can't even think of right now. But, mm-hmm. you know, where does your, like, why wouldn't someone use those or why would they use yours? I mean, yours is a lot less expensive for a property manager because our clients listening, they see their statements and they see Yardi and they see Buildium on there, you know, and what is your angle? That's not their angle, right? I mean, or are you just less expensive?
Okay, well, that's one of them. And I would say we're less efficient, or less, sorry, we're less expensive less efficient. Because we're more efficient. Less expensive because we're much more efficient. We've done, we have customers come over from, you know, our main competitors in this market are Buildium and AppFolio. And daily we have clients sign up, as, you know, they probably have some of ours too. So we trade clients, and that's because the three platforms are actually very feature compatible. All three of us do the same thing. You know, for example, you know, we came out with DocuSign electronic signatures, you know, a couple of years before Buildium, but they might have came out with text messaging, you know, before us. But we just bounce back and forth, like, feature wise. So I wouldn't say like either of those platforms are bad. They actually are great platforms, as is ours, because we all, you know, we all do the same things. Where the difference is in how the tool works. I think all three platforms work significantly different, and I might be a tiny bit biased, but I think ours works more efficiently. we spend a ton of time, every feature we develop, we spend a ton of time making sure that that feature is going to be the most efficient for our clients. When I look at, you know, deploying a feature, you know, if there's, you know, 5 clicks where they're you know, could just be two if we can work on it to make it only two clicks or two pages instead of 10. If there's any way we can shrink that down, we don't release it until we do. So that's one area we really stand out, is making the program very efficient, and it's going to take less time to do everything in our system that it would, you know, some of our competitors' systems. Another huge differentiator that I believe in, this is maybe more personal feeling than it is strictly business or feature. You know, all of our clients out there, they all started generally with nothing or with a couple hundred dollars in their pocket, and they, you know, they built, you know, their small empire, whether it be, you know, a series of properties or a property management business that, you know, they all started it on their own. Usually, I would say 95%, maybe 99% of them, they didn't receive millions and millions of dollars of like venture capital funding or something. So we're the same way. We've grown the exact same way. Not a single day have we ever taken out a loan or had to. We've been profitable since 2009, and we've grown 100% organically. And we do that, you know, I take pride in that, because these other companies can't do that. They couldn't. And so I feel like we've got a bit more camaraderie with our clients, because we do business the same way as they do.
Yeah, you're scruffy, or scrappy. Scrappy's the word.
We're very scrappy, and we've done it, and we've become very successful at it. So another thing that differentiates us is, we make it easy for people to use us. We don't have any terms. No one ever has to sign up for a year or any, you know, it's everything's month to month. We have no setup fees. We've got a free trial. We want people to be able to come in, use our system, feel the same way I do, that it makes their life easier. And if by the end of those 30 days, it's not easier, then they should keep exploring, because not every system works well for everybody. And we have a huge market of landlords out there. There's something like 20 million, you know, landlords in the United States.
Small landlords. That's amazing. I mean, that is really an amazing number. I know I've talked about those numbers before, and they're mind-boggling.
Yeah, it's staggering. And 19 million of them aren't using software to manage their properties. So I don't really feel like I'm competing against, you know, our competitors. Sure, they're out there and we trade customers sometimes, but, we're more going and trying to help the people that aren't using anything right now. And, you know, that does tend to bring us a lot of the smaller ones, a lot of the, you know, property investors that have 5 or 10 properties, but that's okay. We're totally good with that. We're 100% committed to that market, which is also unique to us. We're not changing. We're going to stick there.
Yeah, I love that market too. How do you handle support and help and training and stuff like that? I mean, can people call you, or how does that work?
Absolutely. And in fact, that's probably another way we stand out. I keep a very close eye on like online reviews. There's all these third party sites out there. There's like dozens of them now, but a few that stand out that keep track of reviews of us and our competitors. And we consistently rate higher always. Like 5 stars all the way across the board when it comes to our client support. And reason being, here's what I attribute it to, is I'm personally involved with every customer service person we hire. And one thing we've done, it's been challenging, you know, to always find them, but we hire people that have been in the property management industry. They've owned properties or ideally worked for a property management firm at some point, and bring them in to do our customer service. So not only do our customer service reps know our program really well, but they know the business really well. And to answer your question, we have an 800 number people can call. We've got live chat. We've got that on our website. We're actually just next week. This is brand new news. Haven't even released it on our blog yet, but we'll be adding live chat support in app. So anytime someone's working on a ledger or looking at a screening report or something, and they have a question, they can just click the button and get a hold of one of our people. Everyone's right here in Grants Pass to ask the question. So yeah, support wise, we're probably the most available company for support.
Fantastic. And when you mention app, can they use the entire product inside a mobile app, or is that just like the tenant portal, or tell us about that?
Okay. All the portals, there's a tenant portal and an owner portal, and then the application itself is a web-based application. So
that's a SaaS product. So are there, when you say app, most people think of like a smartphone app. Do you not have an app?
We don't have a specific application.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, we've made everything work on phones, so it is responsive and it works fine up there, but we don't have a specific application for it.
Perfect. Yeah, sounds good. Well, Nathan, thanks so much for joining us, and I wish you the best in really empowering investors. This is my big goal, to empower investors to get away from Wall Street. Wall Street's a scam. Invest in real estate. It's the most historically proven asset class. There's just so many great tools now to do it. Technology has enabled and empowered investors in so many ways, and you're one of the people doing it. So thank you for your contribution to that, and thanks for joining us today.
Of course. Thanks for having me, Jason.
Thank you so much for listening. Please be sure to subscribe so that you don't miss any episodes. Be sure to check out the show's specific website and our general website, hartmanmedia.com, for appropriate disclaimers and terms of service. Remember that guests' opinions are their own. And if you require specific legal or tax advice or advice in any other specialized area, please consult an appropriate professional. And we also very much appreciate you reviewing the show. Please go to iTunes or Stitcher Radio or whatever platform you're using and write a review for the show. We would very much appreciate that. And be sure to make it official and subscribe so you do not miss any episodes. We look forward to seeing you on the next episode.